Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Congo Square. The Omus Indians prepared this place for us centuries before our arrival. A sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. The Omus Indians prepared this place for us centuries before our arrival. Congo Square, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. And as the colonizers came, our host, the Omus Indians, they pushed aside our host. The colonizers came and pushed aside our host and introduced us in chains. And by the late 1700s, we somehow, recognizing the sacredness of Les Places de Congo, we somehow, and the how of our somehow persuasive methodologies is not clear at this moment. The how is not clear. How our persuasive methodologies worked is not clear at this moment, but nevertheless, even as slaves, we crafted and created a space where we could be free to be we. And thusly we countered the sacrilegiousness of the French, giving great homage to our ancestors as well as giving praise and thanks to our red-blooded brothers and sisters. This is an oral libation toast to Congo Square, to Native Americans, to our ancestors who made a circle out of a square and gave us a way to stay ourselves, save ourselves from the transformatory ugliness of America, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life. Which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life and celebrates death with crosses and crosses, double and triple crosses, the middle passage, the first cross, Christianity, the double cross, and capitalism, the ultimate triple coup de grace cross of our captivity. But the terror of crosses notwithstanding, we sang. We beat, we be, we was and is. Hail Congo Square, Congo, Congo Square. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us, inside the beat of us. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us until we are ready to release them into a world that we recreate, a world heralded by the beat, beat, beating, being of black heart drums. Heart beat, heart beat. Heart be at this place be heart be we beating place in new world space beating being in place in new world preserving our ancient pace. Our dance is the God walk, our music the God talk. First thing we do, let's get together, circle ourselves into community. No beginning, no end, connected together and singing, ringing, singing in a ring. Second, let's be original, aboriginal, be what we were before we became what we are. Be Bambula dance, be Banza music, and sing song words which have no English translation. Third, let us remember. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. The bounce, the blood flow, the feel, the spirit grow, energy. Must retain and pass on the essential usness that others want to dissipate, whip out Hello. Of us.
Whoa!
But no matter. No matter how much of us they prohibit. No matter how much of us they prohibit. Deep inside us is us. Deep inside us is us. Remains us inside and needs only the beat to set us free. The beat to free us. It is morning. A sun day. A feel. Without shade, but dark. Dark with the people black of us in various shades, eclipsing the sun with our elegance. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. Beat Congo Square. Be Congo Square. Beat. Be. Beat. Be. Congo Square. Be Congo Square. Be. 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 Remember. Remember.
Yeah.
along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herb, fruit, plant ritual and mineral. I am honored and appreciative of your continued support and listenership here at High Noon at U.S. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, and of course for your support of Congo Square Preservation Society here in this beautiful city of New Orleans, Louisiana. My live listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967. 347-215-8967. When you are ready with your question, comment, or request, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. I will be more than happy to assist you moving forward.
Azunke parin legbae, azunke, azunke parin legbae, parin legba men la jan kase wosho, azunke valre le parin vodou legba,
azunke parin legbae,
azunke. ke o pare no vodule. Oui, pare no vodule, ma tutu. Pare le ba, men la jan kate wo so. Azunke, balge le ma en vodule ba.
Azunke, pare le ba,
e. Azunke.
New Year's Eve, New Year's. But for New Orleans, we are still counting down. 12 days of Christmas. We're still counting down Lent. We're still counting down Mardi Gras, Carnival. The Super Bowl, which is going to be a major $450 million event for the city of New Orleans. And, of course, going on up to Essence Fest and all the other things that draw tourists and locals and the like here to this beautiful city of New Orleans. So I will not be in Congo Square today. However, we do always give reverence to our ancestors. We journey to Lafayette Cemetery, number one. Number two, we journey to St. Louis Cemetery. We make offerings, we make libations. We, for whatever the weather, give honor and reverence to those who came before and laid the foundation upon which we now all stand, and particularly those who profess to stand within the tradition. A lot of talk about prophecies and coming of the world and 2112, which is now we're on the other side of that, Mayan prophecies and the like. But indeed, I can tell you, the time for making excuses is now past. It's now past at every level, if you will, and if you were paying attention of our society, to the government level, to the quote-unquote entitlement level. People are looking at every dime, every penny, every corner to turn to either maintain the status quo or to make the change. And let me tell you, the change is not coming. The change is not upon us. The change is already here. We are already in the mix. If you haven't figured that out yet, you're a little late. People, societies, governments, organizations, churches are going to have to make decisions and now move forward. There will be nothing more powerful than that, than I will say to you all year, that this is the time for change. Whether you are ready for it or not, whether you've prepared for it or not, whether you care to identify it, deny it, recognize it or not, it's already here. It's already upon us. Whether they pass the bill, don't pass the bill, whether they adjust Social Security, don't adjust Social Security, there is no going back. Understand. There's no going back to what we thought we knew, thought we understood, thought we had, thought we were living. We are on the other side now in terms of our experience, in terms of our awareness, at a global, at a universal level. This will not just be personal, it will be collective. This will not just be global, it will be national. It will be international. Many of the things that we've taken for granted, many of the things that we've assumed, many of the things that we wanted to have in place will all be shifting right now. Some scientists are even looking at magnetic changes and solar flare changes, all of which, for you alchemists, for you mathematicians, for you scientists, for you witches and warlocks, I use that today specifically. That's another story. For you Orisha priests and Babalawos and psychics and spiritualists, there is an energetic shift that's now about to take place. It will mean the end of the world for many of you. It will literally mean the end of the world for many of you, because you're not going to make the change. If you're not ready to make the change, you don't want to make the change, you're in denial of the change, you don't even see a need for change, there's no bounce back. If you didn't get it in the 40s, if you didn't get it in the 70s, if you didn't get it in the 80s, you need to recognize it now. And we keep moving forward. That's the thing. We keep moving forward. in time and technology and understanding and science, we keep moving forward. While those who are going to regress are going to continue to regress. It sounds almost absolute. Even when we look at it from a Christian Armageddon perspective, it seems almost absolute. But you all remember me saying back in my opening, back in my earlier shows, lines have already been divided. Sides have already been chosen. Remember I used to say that before the show? Already been chosen. We're talking about light and darkness, good and evil, and you have already crystallized that. It's with you right now. It's your demonstration right now. And the wise are desperately trying to make adjustments. The foolish, you're going to do what you normally would do. You're going to do what you do, and you're going to get what you got. It's that simple. But your being disqualified for existence continues to move forward. And all of us have to qualify. All of us. It's in our diet. It's in how we treat the planet. We had a small conversation about this on Facebook the other day. And my first response was, eat what you want. Do what you like. But no, that's over. That is over. There are certain products that are running out that will not even be in existence. They're creating this new salmon eel concoction because the salmon are being depleted to extinction. Understand, people. And a lot of you carnivores and meat eaters, a lot of what you're eating right now is not real. Your cows are already genetically modified. Your pigs are already genetically modified. A small child could have figured that out 20 years ago. I figured that out. The chicken don't look like the chicken my grandmama put on the plate. My mama put on the plate that I was eating in California versus what I've seen since I've been in New Orleans. It is not the same, people. And for those whose third eye is open, certain things are so obvious to you now. So there is no turning back. There is no, oh, yeah, I know, but just give me a minute. No, that time is over. That's what this window is about. That's what this shift is about. Now it's truly about you are what you say you are and you give what you got. Right now. That's why I'm speaking my true authentic self. And those who are paying attention, whether you like it or not, whether you like me or not, if you're paying attention, we keep rolling. We keep moving forward. We're not dealing with lack. We're not dealing with absence. We're not dealing with subtraction. We're not dealing with division. We're dealing with adding, multiplying, increasing the wealth of our communities, the health of our communities. Not just ourselves. That was 80s and 90s. That was the last dispensation. Now, I can only think about me. That is long over. That's what's being argued right now in the Congress. Are you going to continue to think about just your rich, wealthy selves, or are you going to take responsibility for your part to the whole? Because we on the lower end are already taking our share. And then some. We're picking up the slack for others. I look just in my ministry. I'm carrying a lot of slack, emotional, spiritual, energetic slack right now for individuals who may or may not be really willing to do the work for themselves. And the ability for that type of magic to even work, even manifest and develop under this new energetic dispensation will be shut down. For you practitioners who've been operating under those sciences, that is being shut down now. It's like a battery pack that's now obsolete that you can't use. That is no longer going to be able to produce results moving forward. The requests are too large. The need is too extreme. The hurt, the sickness, the dis-ease, the imbalances that are now having to be healed and shift are grand beyond any illusionary past way of addressing many of these issues. And the Obeah men, the voodoo practitioners, Ifa practitioners are going to be on the front line of this movement. It is our season. You don't have to like it. You don't have to embrace it. You don't have to understand it. It just is what it is. It is now our time. And those who are truly going to make the shift, going to make the change, are already in motion, are already traveling, already moving, are already building, are already preparing. It's not something that, you know, pop, it happens instantaneously and you're going to be God. It just doesn't happen that way. It's not going to shrink your waistline. It's not going to increase your sexual prowess in that way. You know, all the things you see on the 800, 900 commercials. No, we're moving into real-time, space-time demonstration and manifestation. And I will have more of the Power Lodge Hoodoo New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes here with the Divine Prince. Moving forward, all is indeed truly a blessing. Remember, our live listen and call the number is area code 347-215-8967. When you are ready with your question, comment, or request, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and I will be happy to assist you. All is a blessing.
Amen. Papa, what did you say?
go to the phone lines. Mary Lou, peace and blessings. How may I assist you?
Peace and blessings to you, too. I wanted to ask you a lot of things about New Orleans and what goes on in Congo Square. But first, I got to tell you a story. As the music was playing, I was dancing around my kitchen.
Uh-huh.
I'm making coffee, and I heard a click. Well, before I was dancing, I heard a click in my cabinet. I thought, oh, that's really weird. Like, my cabinets are talking to me. And as I was opening the cabinet, my coffee cups flew out and crashed all over the floor. It's like I had a little visitation.
Yes, indeed. And what city do you live in?
New Orleans.
Oh, okay. This is Mary Lou. Mary Lou.
Yes.
Well, you know, we live in the, in my opinion, the most haunted city in the country. Now, people try and say, you know, Savannah, but I think there's a different type of spirits.
Well, I
would inhabit the two different locations, and I think we have more actual activity than they do.
Well, I was studying the history of New Orleans till 4:30 in the morning. So, if I had this conversation with you last week, I wouldn't have my facts as straight as I would if you talked to me right now. But in all that research, I'm still trying to figure out present-day stuff of what goes on, because it seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong and maybe I'm just missing something, but a lot of times things go on in this city and the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing, and if somebody really wants to know, it's sometimes a little bit hard to figure out what's going on right under our nose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was trying to figure out for a while, when, if I wanted to see something at Congo Square, when, I even drove by there yesterday, nothing's going on, of course. I mean, how do you
mm-hmm.
see things out? And you post pictures after events on Facebook, but I never see any notices anywhere of anything before they come up. And then I turned on blog and I figured, you're about to tell me, aren't you? And you did.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well,
there every
you know,
Friday,
that,
right?
We're talking about New Orleans.
Right.
Very different culture than it really anywhere else in the quote-unquote New World. Now, what you're referencing is not new. There's always been a division in terms of who knows and who doesn't know, who's a part of and who isn't a part of. It's ingrained in the very culture that was developed here, if you will, between the Spanish and the French and the Creoles and the Americans and the slaves and the indigenous people. So there's always been that veil.
I
sort of compare it to Camelot, where if you are not able to see and perceive and pass through the veil, all you see is the lake.
I read.
But if you have the ability, then you are a part of what's going on. Now, Congo Square, as you should know, is not a physical place. It's a culture. It's a community. So there is no, you know, well, we have a calendar of events, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that.
But it is
the
a
most,
physical place.
The most.
Wait, correct me. Wait, stop. It is a physical place.
No, it's not.
But it's also
no,
a physical place.
No, it's not.
There is
Armstrong Park is a physical place, once referred to as Beauregard. The Congo Square is not a, quote-unquote, physical place. It is the activity, it is the people that inhabit Congo Square that make it what it is. If we're not out there and nothing's going on, it would be just a well-organized row of bricks like any other park. So Congo Square is not happening if we're not there, if we're not a part of it, if we're not invited to be a part of it, if we're not supported to be a part of it. And as a local, you may or may not be aware, but that is a consistent battle. Is it Congo Square? Is it Armstrong Park? Does it belong to the Quarter? Does it belong to May? And the reality is it belongs to the ancestors and the spirits of Congo Square, more specifically. And that is us. And those of us who keep that tradition connected from the past to the present into the future. The tradition is that that was the one place slaves weren't fed on the weekend. So we had to gather in Congo Square. Slaves were not allowed to practice their tradition legally anywhere else, not just here in the city or in Louisiana, but in all of the known America at that time, other than Sundays in Congo Square. Now, the space was sacred prior to that by the Houma Indians. They already did sacred ceremonies in that place. So the ground was already consecrated. The ground is already part of the natural ley lines and the flow of spiritual energy. But even the term Congo Square is new. Even our understanding of it in that way has been sort of politicized. Again, you got the tourist board that wants to compete for Congo Square. You got the city that wants to compete for Congo Square. But no one wants to support why Congo Square is what it is in the first place. It's because we were allowed to do our thing there. You know, there are people that are trying to get me to stop doing voodoo in Congo Square. That's not going to happen. It's never happened, and it's not going to happen now. Now, in terms of finding us regularly, we typically meet every Sunday in Congo Square. But again,
what time?
You as a local, you know, 2 o'clock, approximately 2 o'clock. But again, we're competing for the space with other groups. Other events, they had a big Christian thing out there, you know, a few weekends ago. Naturally, we're not out there doing voodoo while they're singing gospel. Those two things have never intermingled.
Why would
Christians
be in Congo Square
then? I'm sorry, say that again?
Why would Christians be in Congo Square? That doesn't even make sense. Were they actually
Why are they given Segway tours and bicycle tours in Congo Square that completely ignore our existence? I mean, we can literally be out there doing our thing, and the Segways will come through and tell their little stories, you know, the tour guides. And, you know, we hear them. We're everywhere. We're not just a small group of people. You know, they're whites, blacks, Hispanics, just walking through Armstrong Park, that know what Congo Square is. So we know, you know, collectively what's being said and what's being promoted. Often, we're not even on the map. You know, when you tune in to NOLA.com and WDSU and WWL, Armstrong Park is having an event. They don't even mention Congo Square as if we don't exist. But, and that's why I say Congo Square, per se, is not a specific place. It's in the geography that we know is in that park. And we, through the history and Freddie Evans Williams' book and some other historians, have a general idea as to where this was taking place. But we don't have, we're not recognized as a legitimate part of the city. For many people, I mean, we're still dealing with people bringing their dogs to Congo Square to do their due in the middle of our sacred ceremonies. But we've had people come and tell us, well, what you're doing isn't sacred. Why? Because you're not making a buck off of it? Because it's not a part of the whole tour bus, you know, entity, which I don't think we want to be a part of, but we haven't been invited either. So, and it's not just Congo Square. Going back to your original comment about the division in terms of what's known, just another question. Where are the second lines? Nobody knows that but the people that are in the second lines. And if you aren't a part of the community actively, you don't even know the second line is coming until you hear brass. And then 15 minutes later, it's over. That's natural to New Orleans. That's always been the case in New Orleans. You're never going to find real advertisements about the authentic religious practice that's going on here. One, we don't want tourists showing up. Two, we don't want people coming through just to take their pictures and then post them in Europe and other parts of the world and get paid for that and then pretend like we weren't even a part of it. We don't want people coming who are going to be voyeurs when there's something religious going on. So those people who are actively a part of what's happening know what's happening, and they invite who they want to come. Now, I've crossed the line for many people in terms of what I do on Facebook. Mary Lou, there are people that are not happy about what I do on Facebook, about posting it, about documenting it. You're documenting something we want to pretend doesn't exist.
I found that when I was photographing the black church I attended, because, you know, you're documenting and photographing a religious place. Yes, because it's a point in time that doesn't exist forever, and it's worthy of being remembered.
I agree, but who should be doing that? Who should be in control of that? And who should say what happens to the material?
Right.
Now, that's a big issue.
Right.
I have people who come to my office, who come to Congo Square, photograph me, and then brand their stuff, and then want to sell it, and wouldn't offer me a cheese sandwich if I were hungry, wouldn't offer me a dollar to keep my power on, to keep my temple running. So we're forced to look at it, as I said earlier in the show, before your call even, from a sacred perspective and a secular perspective, but also from a business perspective. We have a $450 million Super Bowl windfall. Who's getting that money? Who and how is it going to be ensured that it's going to even be, a percentage of it even, be reinvested in the communities that are going to help that to happen? I live in the Super Bowl zone where we're now not allowed to put up any signs or do anything to make ourselves overtly noticeable outside of the Super. I live in that zone. I could throw a rock and hit the Superdome from where I live. So I'm experiencing that now on the ground. So all of that plays into your concerns and your questions.
Can I throw
I'm sorry, go ahead.
When I'm doing all the study last night and I was reading about St. Roche, it dawned on me how this is a judgment. I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. The Catholic Church said that there was a ritual where you had to go to seven Catholic churches and pray and leave money and then go to the St. Roche tomb and make your last prayer and your request, and your wish will be granted. And I thought to myself, wow, that ritual certainly makes money for the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
It's those kind of little things that had made the Catholics, this is judgmental and I'm Catholic, I don't mean to say it, but when I read that, I was thinking, oh my gosh, that's kind of tricky, don't you think? I mean, certainly a saint isn't going to grant your request just because you didn't leave money at a Catholic church or seven of them in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So, It seems to me that if you use that kind of wisdom to fund your beliefs, that too would possibly work. Because, for example, you're talking about monetizing things. Photographers right now have a hard time making a living because everybody's monetizing photography except for the photographers. And a lot of photographers are going under because right now it's more expensive now to ever be in this field. And people think you're making all this money, and it costs you more money than ever, and you're making less, and people think that you're the rich one, and you're not.
I have a very African-centered perspective on that. And call the next call, I'm coming to you. Don't hang up on me.
Okay.
But I have a very African-centered perspective on that, because someone earlier today on Facebook, I can't even remember what we were talking about, but it had to do with, all the different groups, all the different religions, everyone's interests, and then the money element, and then the business element. And the bottom line was, how do I survive doing what I do?
That's what the photographer asked.
And the clearest way that I could put it was, I support my community. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be viable. My power wouldn't be on. My water wouldn't be on. My rent wouldn't be paid if it were not for the community that I work hard for. Ashe, all the Ifa priests in town that never show up on NOLA.com, that are never on TV, that are never given any credit, all the musicians that are not honored, and yet we're steadily putting in new regulations, new laws to ensure that a very small percentage of the city population gets all the fruit while the rest of us do the work. Even when we look at the movie industry and TV and all the extras and the props, and I've carried instruments on sets. I've worn my stuff. I've brought implements that I went through years of training to get so that someone else can make a lot of money on it. So when I go back and I look at the photographers, and that's a sensitive area for me.
But the photographers are...
Let me respond. That's a sensitive area for me because I do represent Ashe. I do represent Congo Square Preservation Society. So I'm often paying attention to if we're being presented, how we're being presented, and who's getting the benefit for it. So when we look at Congo Square Jazz Fest last summer, I brought Queen Ket here from Gullah Geechee Nation, from the Carolinas, while someone else reaped a big reward of money for putting on that event. Didn't acknowledge me, didn't acknowledge Queen Ket, didn't acknowledge the people who came out to support Queen Ket and our being there, and we are Congo Square. So how do you then say, well, you know, we're not making enough money, you're doing better than what the community is getting.
No, I'm not.
You're doing better than what I'm getting.
Idea.
Hold on, Mary Lou, we got another caller. I don't want to run out of time on him. Hold on. Area code 770. Your line is now open. 770? Did you have a question or comment? Okay, Mary Lou, sorry about that. Apparently they're just
so
listening.
What it sounds like is that you need to have a preservation society way of collecting funds from tourists that fund your community from tourists.
No, I didn't say anything even close to that. I didn't mention anything about funding for Congo Square. And in terms of anything that is funded with Congo Square, we do it ourselves out of our pocket.
Right.
We're not getting anything from anybody.
Right.
But yet,
could be.
Wait. But yet you could have a internationally broadcast jazz event with five-star celebrities on stage and then invite us to drum, perform, open, close the ceremony while a small percentage gets wealthy and we get absolutely nothing.
Did they not pay?
Not even recognition, okay? Which goes back to your question about the photographers. If the photographers are going to come and show up and photograph who they want, when they want, then put your branding on it, then put your slant on it, but then expect us to be there every Sunday at a set time so that you can do that without coming together at the table in a communal way, then no, it is always going to be out of balance. And certain people are always going to get, and certain people are not going to get, and those who put themselves in this position to reap the fruits of their work and their labor will continue to have to do that, either on their own or with some kind of support. But nonetheless, it's still going to be those who are thinking in those terms that are going to continue to reap the reward. And right now, the way the city is set up, the way the laws are set up, there's a small group of people, that expect to benefit from everything. And many of these, quote-unquote, everythings require the community. Just like the movies and the TV, it requires a background. It requires people walking through. It requires the performers. It requires the vendors that are always naturally there. It requires the ambiances that draws people to the city. But we don't want to be fair and balanced in how we approach that. So certain parts of the city, as you should know, are suffering for lack of coverage, a lack of awareness. Congo Square should be packed every Sunday at 2 o'clock.
Well, if you tell me that I have to pay you money I don't have to compensate you.
I didn't say
you,
that.
But if that were the case.
It looks like you have an agenda that you've already preset,
and
you're saying it over what I'm saying.
Okay.
I didn't say anything about you paying anything.
Well,
I didn't say anything about anybody paying anything. I'm speaking directly to your question and your comment about specifically about the photographers, because I know at least a dozen photographers here personally.
Well,
okay,
I'm thinking in
who
terms
are not
of
broke, place. Who are not struggling, who photograph who they want, when they want, and ignore everybody else, and they brand their stuff and they get a paycheck. And at the end of the day, all the players who make those vibrant videos and those vibrant pictures are not even being recognized. And then when they do, or given some recognition or some honor, there's an army of people who come out against it, which shows and props up what the real motivation is. And a great deal of this was solidified during Hurricane Katrina. Because, as you know, things were very different before Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
Our young people could leave school and go into the quarter and make lunch money. Ain't nobody getting rich. Make lunch money and have a good time and have something safe to do and not be out in trouble. But now they can't perform unless they have the right permits and you're in the right location. And these three or four businesses don't complain about you, you know, outshining them, you know, and so now they don't have anywhere to go. And we look at our crime and we look at all the other negatives that are happening in our city and somehow disassociate our behavior in those other forms from the outcome, which is our crime. All the stuff that we're doing in tourism, in the parks, the way we're dividing up territory now for money, you know, they're about to build that high rise right there at Rampart and Canal, which is going to change everything. It's going to change the entire game. They've already started years ahead removing vendors that have been there forever, removing store owners that have been there forever, so that one little click group of people can get the benefit of what is really tradition and culture, and it's not owned or controlled by anybody or any one group or entity of people. And that's the ultimate problem. I have to get on Facebook and beg for what I cannot get at home because I'm not respected at home. You know, Bob Marley says you're never respected in your own country. So, no, I don't depend on the city to survive. I don't depend on, you know, on you guys to care for me, to respect me, to pay me, to do anything. It's the people that appreciate what I do, whether they are international, national, local, that keep me alive. So,
yeah.
So all the anger around that, it's personalized. Those who are angry that me or others are able to do that need to look at yourself in terms of how you're interacting. I spend a lot of hours and time promoting other people that I don't get anything for. Other entities, other organizations, other religions, politicians, artists, and I get absolutely nothing for that. I'm a more effective ambassador for the city than many of the people who are getting paychecks right now to do that work.
Well, I do that.
You call me and ask where to go.
I do that
call
too,
me and
but
ask
I
where
that's
to eat.
My heart, and I.
They call me and ask where to shop. They
absolutely.
Call me and ask where the events are.
Right.
But on the local level, I'm not giving any respect. I can't go anywhere and ask for what I need. To ask for what I want is out of the question. But I can't even go anywhere and ask for what I need at the local level. But yet, I'm under constant attack for what I do. And I'm glad you brought this up live on air because it gave me a chance to say something that would have been out of character for me because I never would have talked about this live on air if it weren't for you. But I get a lot of hate mail and a lot of negative stuff from people who are supposed to be New Orleanians, who are supposed to be in voodoo, who are supposed to be in Ifa, who are supposed to be spiritualist, who are supposed to be psychic. I got one the other day. All the guy talked about was my teeth. He had so much to say about my teeth. And immediately my mind went into, I can't get no health coverage in this town. I can barely get an appointment at the clinic in this town. But if I were white, black, middle class, northerner coming here with a little extra something, something, doors open up for them. It's happening right in my neighborhood.
That's not necessarily true.
It's completely true.
And there's
true.
No dental it's, care it, in the city.
And until we, as I said before I took your call, we're moving into a time period now spiritually and psychically where the opinion is irrelevant. It's going to be about crystal facts. The internet opens up a world of information and access for that information traveling now that did not exist prior. So people can, you know, like you said, do one thing on the left and then hide it on the right, say something over here and then do something different over there. It's all coming out crystal clear. It's all going to be bared open. We see it at the State Department. We're seeing it in the Police Department. We're seeing it in the government. We're going to see it in tourism. We're going to see it in the voodoo, psychic, spiritual industry. And the internet is going to play a big role in all of that being bared open. And it needs to be if we're going to move forward in any healthy way. When we look at all the self-help gurus that are successful, that are teaching something that's life-changing right now, a part of that is the stuff that no one wants to deal with, the homework, the hard stuff, the getting real. The getting honest about what's really going on. So as long as those who are in power continue to hold on to their power and then suggest that those who are, you know, scratches or crumbs need to readjust their position, then no, things aren't going to change. But we're at a state now where even that is no longer going to be relevant. Because everyone's going to have to carry their weight now. The few that do have are standing now on not giving another dime. They're doing it at the congressional level, and they're doing it right here at the local level. We're not giving a dime. We're not giving an inch. And we're going to continue to reap great rewards. That's going to change in this new dispensation, Mary Lou. It has to. The city won't survive, the country won't survive, the world won't survive with that type of approach to fixing what is not right in our communities. And right here in New Orleans, we have a big issue, a big divide with the haves and the have-nots. The few prosperous, feeling that because they are prosperous that they should control. And in doing so, they cut us off at the legs, or would like to think so anyway, that they cut us off at the legs of being able to do anything at the grassroots level. I mean, what we're doing in Congress Square is grassroots. We're not talking about money. We're not talking about corporations. we're talking about young people, old people, community coming out and doing something that's spiritual, that's religious, that's cultural, just because we feel good doing it. While we have a whirlwind conversation and battle going on around us about how can we take over that park.
So what puts New Orleans on the map is some of the strange spiritual practices that exist here that don't exist other places. So the city has monetized the concept of spirituality here, but the spiritual people not necessarily have done so. It's the same as the photographers.
I can't agree with that.
You don't think that people come to for ghosts and voodoo?
No, I don't agree with your saying that the spiritual people themselves are not a part of that corruption.
Well,
They're absolutely a part of that corruption. If a tourist calls me and says, I want to see some real voodoo, we're not going to the French Quarter, Mary Lou. I got friends in the French Quarter with thriving businesses in the French Quarter that don't know the first thing about voodoo.
Right.
Have never been in a real voodoo ceremony. Done any authentic initiating.
I'm reading
but
a
yet,
book of voodoo that has
yet,
nothing
they
to do
stand
with it.
Empowered by the city, by the tourist board, by the overall money making community to do what they do because they're all getting paid.
But they've monetized.
While what we do in Congo Square is ignored and scorned.
Okay.
Yeah, on any given Sunday when we are there, people keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. So that's what I mean when I say the shift is coming in terms of people putting their money where their mouth is. Tourists continuing to come and see fake stuff and get sort of bussed around to certain already preset locations so that those who are in the clique can get their payday. People are now doing their own homework, are now doing their own research. You said you were up all night researching.
I was reading a book last night, and it's written about voodoo in New Orleans. It's written by someone in New Jersey, a white guy, and there's nothing about voodoo other than it's pretty much a tourist book about, and it's a good book, but it's nothing about voodoo. I mean, not nothing, but almost nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just amazed, like, he's pretty much doing what I'm doing right now, which is surfing around the internet, and this is probably a good selling book. This is probably a good tourist book that most tourists buy, and it really doesn't say anything about what the voodoo of New Orleans is all about, other than it says in the beginning that most voodoo is just made up and people just make up their own thing and there's no initiations, which I don't think is true. I think there is initiations and rituals and rites and a hierarchy. But he says this is none, that it's just people making things up and doing it for the tourists.
I agree with both perspectives. On the one hand, if you said that you believe that it's actually being done, absolutely. And we're here. And we
but
tend to know who each is.
And you're not talking.
It wouldn't be to my benefit. Why? For what reason?
Education.
Let me give you a quick example.
It's 1:30.
I'm sorry.
Last year, I had a ceremony for New Year's. A bunch of people showed up. No offerings, no donations, no nothing.
Did you ask?
They absolutely. They just wanted to be a part of an authentic voodoo event. And we as Americans in particular, or those in the Western world, we sort of have that voyeuristic approach to things. You know, it's like the zoo, you know. You're on stage and you're performing for us and you're kept at a safe distance and we can sort of say that we were there, you know, without really committing or being a part of or you know, anything, you know, at that level. So, no, it wouldn't benefit me to say, oh, well, we're going to do thus and so here.
Well, then the
and then have a whole bunch of people who are going
to
show up.
Then
well,
the answer
otherwise,
then the answer is that we have an event, and the donation required for this event is X. Costs $20 to see this event. Period.
You don't operate in religion that way. We're talking about, you made mention of that in a very different way earlier when you talked about, the Catholic Church thing.
I was amazed by that thought of that.
Okay, but wait. There's a veil. There's an interdimensional veil there. On the one hand, if you're looking at it from a commercial perspective, yeah, that doesn't make sense. I'm paying money to go to all these different churches, and no, it doesn't make sense. But from a spiritual perspective, from a Buddha perspective, we don't do anything without an offering. But for those who are in the tradition, we don't say, well, you need to bring this much.
You know,
we're selling $20 tickets. No, we don't do that. And for those who are truly committed, you don't have to. They're going to put what they want in the pot. They're going to bring their faith to the tradition. So when you start mixing secular with spiritual, things always going to get nasty.
Right. Well,
you know,
the Catholic Church will tell you, how much have you donated this month? Has it reached your 15%? What are your annual earnings? Did you make, you know, they will do that to you. And I know a lot of churches will. And churches that don't, like my church in Ohio, they didn't, people didn't give them that much money. They always came to church, but they only put a couple dollars in when it came around because they were poor. And when you're poor and you're barely scraping by, it's hard to give it up to the church. And then, but then there would be that one person whose faith was so strong that they paid more than their fair share, probably couldn't pay their bills that month, and gave everything, thinking or believing or having faith in that if I give it to God, God's going to take care of me. And I don't know if it's true or not, because, you know, that's part of understanding the journey, huh?
Yeah, I found it to be true. And I've heard others. Look at another New Orleans event right now, the panhandling. You know, there's certain stores, certain locations that you go to, they're waiting on you. So, you know, you have the one person on this side who says, I'm not giving them anything. You know, there are services available. There are, you know, organizations they can go to. There are soup kitchens, you know. There's shelters. I'm not going to give them anything. It feeds the wrong idea.
And
then on this side of that is the person who says, I'm doing it in faith. I don't care what they're going to do with my money. I'm doing it for God, or I'm doing it for Jesus, or I'm doing it, you know, for Obatala, but I'm doing it under the power of faith. Once you make the decision as to which approach you are taking, then there are ramifications for either approach. As a spiritualist, no, I'm not going to be counting my pennies and can I see your records and, you know, if spirit is operating for me, you know, it costs me $30 every Sunday just to take a cab to Congo Square. I'm not compensated for that. I don't ask Luther for, you know, any money on that, you know, but spirit provides for me because I do it purely and I'm doing it just to do the ritual. I've got to be there to do the ritual. So that's why I do it. But if you take the approach that, you know, well, there should be services in place and, you know, you all should organize. Once you start the organizing, that's when the politics start coming in.
Right.
That's when the law starts coming in. That's when, you know the naysayers start coming in and say, well, we want a piece of that pie. We want to do that. And then it becomes secular.
You're right.
And not spiritual at all.
Exactly.
And I think those two need to survive for the whole ship to survive. I just think it needs to be done decently and in order. There's always going to be real voodoo going on here that's not going to be
put on public
space. Consider yourself to the people that run it as a religion and as a business, because you can't compare yourself to that because you're not willing to be that. So you can't compare yourself to that. Okay. In the world of spirituality, there becomes religion, and religion can become a business. And what you just said was you don't want to have any part of that because it kills the spirituality. So you cannot compare
yourself. No, I said whichever path you decide is going to come with a repercussion.
Right.
That's
well,
what I said.
If you practice,
let's go back to Congo Square. We're never going to be able to separate Congo Square entirely and make it one or the other. It's never going to happen. Congo Square is never going to be completely secular. It's never going to be completely religious. It's never going to be completely ancestral. It's never going to be completely a tourist spot.
It's forever all
of those things.
I think you said it pretty well in the beginning of the conversation is that, who's calling me?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea who this is. Is that it's in your heart. I'm going to take his call real quick. I'm going to mute myself. I'll be right back.
All right. Peace and blessings. I am taking your live call at area code 347-215-8967. Please do press the number 1 on your telephone key. Telephone keypad when you are ready with your question, comment, or request. I will be more than happy to assist you moving forward. You are listening now live to the Divine Prince, House of the Divine Prince, Type Potions and Voodoo Central for the Power Lunch here on Blog Talk Radio. This is Congo Square Sunday. Traditionally, we are in Congo Square on Sunday. I'm not there, obviously, this Sunday, but we invite you to be a part of this powerful, historic weekly gathering in Congo Square. I will be back with more of the Power Lunch. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Mary, you still with me? And she may still.
I am.
Oh, okay. I just want to say, I think what I'm saying quite simply is, going back to the original, what I felt was energy of your question, is that, yes, there is a divide. Yes, there is a veil. It is historic. It is specific to New Orleans. It always has been.
Have you read Code Noir?
I don't think that.
Can you hear me?
We can. Let me get my point out.
Oh, I didn't know if you could hear.
I don't think that we can separate the two. And I think the two can coexist. You know, tourist voodoo can exist in a town with real authentic voodoo going on without any conflict. My issue is when those who already hold the power, those who already hold the resources, then want to take over that which is sacred, and either put it into the vein of you know, commercialism, tourism, to the exclusion of the root. It's like trying to keep a plant growing without the root. The root needs the flower needs the root. They both need each other, if you will, to continue to survive. My thing is, big brother should not be trying to take over little brother, and always at little brother's expense.
Well, in
and
the,
that there's room enough for both to coexist peacefully.
In the case of performing for a jazz performance, I don't understand why a contract or it was a business negotiation. If you don't ask for money, they're not going to give you money. Because it's business. They can make money and not pay you. That's great. Thank you for coming. So that's where you put your business hat on and you say, we will perform. This is our fees, which would be considered a donation to our spiritual church, religion, or however you want to entitle it. It's a tax-deductible donation, perhaps. I don't know. But it's a business negotiation. And if you're not thinking like a business person, then you get taken advantage of. You there?
Yeah, you're entitled to that, but I don't agree.
Well, then,
Again, it smacks of Big Brother forcing secular brother, now forcing spiritual brother, you know, we're going to do this. If you want to be a part of this, then you might as well put your business hat on and come on in with us. Otherwise, we're just going to do it anyway.
Well,
which
if you change
to
the topic.
To your exclusion, which has been done, where what I'm saying is there's enough for everybody.
Yeah, but if it
tourism,
was a if it was
your,
a Baptist
let
church.
Let me get my point out. Do your tourism, do your commercialism, do your capitalism, but don't call it authentic. Don't call it real. Don't call it religious or spiritual when it is not. And when the spiritual is being done, don't feel now angry and that you should have a piece of that or you should have some control of that or you should have just as much recognition of that. When everyone is already getting more than enough, there's more than enough already circulating to support everybody if we want to be fair and balanced. My feeling is that we don't want to be fair and balanced. Those who are in control have to maintain control by keeping their foot on the neck of those beneath them. And that's what we see continuing to happen. We see it in art. We see it in music. We're seeing it in voodoo and spirituality. And as you said, we're even seeing it now in the churches because the moneymakers are now, you know, just not to, you know, put the responsibility on what you said, but to use what you said, are now forcing those who are otherwise purely spiritual to have to be something that we either are not or don't want to be. Now, I have some in me, and I'm willing to say that live on air. Otherwise, I would not be as successful as I have been online. Okay, but I don't try to mix the two, and that's what I said earlier. I don't count on New Orleans to do anything for me. I don't have any malice. I don't have any negative feelings about that. I don't count on New Orleans to do anything for me. And for various reasons, some of what you said, people here are poor, people are struggling, and then you have those who do have who I already know aren't going to give it anyway. But don't then try and use me, take advantage of me, bite off my energy, as the young people say, to try to use my image, try to use the momentum of what I'm doing. A lot of people didn't even know Congo Square existed until I put it on the map. Let's be real. There are people, Mary Lou, right here in New Orleans, who still ask me every day, where's Congo Square? Remember, I said Congo Square is not a fifth place. But that's by design. I don't think that happened accidentally. And that impression is not still happening.
So what you're talking about is duality versus unity, the concept that we're separate from one another, and one is better than the other because something's always the difference, something's always the opposite. That's the duality of black, white, male, female, left, right. That's duality, and we've been living in a world of duality, and the concept is the shift is living in a world of unity where we understand that every interaction, we're interacting with ourselves. So if we're black, we're part white, and if we're white, we're part black, and if we're left, we're part right, and if we're right, we're part... If we're evil, we're part good. If we're good, we're part evil, because it's all one. Am I making sense?
You're making sense if you believe that concept. I personally believe that duality must exist. One needs the other, but they are not the same. To me, another way of saying what you just said is, you know, Jesus is part Satan and Satan is part Jesus. No, they have their own absolute realm of reality. Do they cross? Do they share space? Absolutely. But we cannot be beguiled to think that they ever are playing by the same rule. Or have the same motivation, if you will. Local neighbor 504, your line is now open. Who's calling?
Yeah. How you doing, Brother Divine the Peace? This is Brother T. I'm out of the New Orleans area. And I was listening to the whole show, and I am just so glad that you was articulated the way you explained yourself, and you was hitting it right on the head. Being a local practitioner myself, I'm really out of sight, out of mind, because of the tourism and the traps that are associated with that. And I honor you for the words you put forward today, and my ancestors are proud of that too, because sometimes the truth just has to be told. And you came along with an articulate way of putting it out there with no malice, no anger, no anything, and you put it out there clear and precise. And I just want to honor you for that. And I'm done.
Well, I'm humbled and honored in service to the community. I most certainly appreciate that. But as I was just saying to Mary Lou, I don't think the two need to be at odds. They always have been. We agreed on that. It goes all the way back to the beginning. We agree on that. But the other way of looking at that is, then we would not still be on the map without that. To some degree. That's not to say that, like I said, Jesus now takes on some of Satan's characteristics and vice versa, but it means that you learn to live in the nature, the environment, the ecosystem that you are in, and do it without violating, do it without being disrespectful, do it without trying to, one, to overpower or control the other. And the controls here are lopsided. They're on the side of tourism. They're on the side of capitalism. And if for you feel that to be synonymous with white people, to some degree, that's true to some degree. Are there not black people involved in that? Absolutely. But then again, we have to look at their allegiance. We deal with this every time there's a voting situation, every time there's time for us to come together and vote. You know, some people vote on color, and I never vote on color. I pay attention to what people do and what their true motivation is behind the doing. That's my thing. So there's always going to be real voodoo going on. That's not going to be stopped. And it's going to be done respectfully and decently and in order because of people who are actively participating in that from an authentic perspective are going to handle themselves decently and in order, whether they're in the company of those who are at the ceremony or talking about it out in public in the French Quarter. It's the same thing. And those who are in the commercial aspect of spirituality in this town should not be angry. You have all the luxuries. You have all the setup. You have all the permits. You have all the transportation. You have all the media. So the internet just balances the playing field. It gives everybody an opportunity to get out there. And someone at the top knows that. So we need to clamp down on these kids being able to play out in public in the French Quarter, where somebody might actually be able to take their picture, where somebody might actually be able to blog about them, talk about them. It's about absence by denial, okay? And no, we won't be denied. We won't be overlooked. The Congo Square Preservation Society will go on. We will drum. We will chant. We will call down the spirits. We will feed the ancestors. It will be. And it will be, as it always has been, self-supporting by those who get up and do it every Sunday. Otherwise, we wouldn't be there, right? Because we're not getting any help. So we wouldn't exist if we weren't doing it. Now, if the community wants to support that,